In recent weeks, there have been multiple announcements of good news on the COVID-19 vaccine development front. Shortly after Election Day, we learned that Pfizer and its partner had developed a vaccine that was more than 90% effective. This was followed by a preliminary finding from Moderna that its vaccine was nearly 95% effective at warding off the virus. Based on these developments, we wanted to think about how we got to this point, so we're going to revisit our interview from earlier this year with State Senator Brad Hoylman, a Manhattan Democrat who participated in the human trials for the vaccine development at the NYU School of Medicine in New York City. We began our discussion with an explanation about what it actually meant to be part of phase three of a vaccine trial.
So far, it's been very simple. I filled out a few questionnaires to qualify for the vaccine trial, and then I went to NYU Langone Health, a hospital in my Senate district, where I signed a lot of consent forms. Explain the procedure for participating in the trial. It's a two-year study, so I'll be monitored for 2 years. And then I was administered the phase three trial vaccine for COVID-19.
And do you know at this point whether you got the vaccine or a placebo?
I do not. It was a 50% chance of having one or the other. And the nurse who administered the vaccine said I couldn't turn around because apparently, you know, they're marked different colors on the syringe. So I'm not sure which one I have.
In the meantime, do you just need to go about living your life and they'll check in with you? Or is it more complicated than that?
It's pretty simple. There's an app on your phone that I've been employing for the last week where I go through and tick if I have any side effects, which I've had none. I take my temperature every day and relay that to the team through the app. And then at the end of this month, I'll be administered a second dose of the vaccine.
And then just wait and check in after 2 years, or will there be ongoing sort of appointments?
There are ongoing appointments that are actually all scheduled out. And it's very regimented. Because even though we're in, you know, what they call Operation Warp Speed to getting a vaccine tested and to the public as soon as possible, they have to go through a number of steps, obviously, to ensure that it's safe and effective. I figured since I'm a proponent of vaccines, this is one way of putting my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, how did you decide to get involved with this, and what was the discussion like with your husband when you decided to take on this risk?
Yeah, well, I'll say that it's phase three, so the risk is certainly far less than if it was a phase one vaccine. And the other component of my thinking was, you know, we need science-based policymaking more than ever during a pandemic. The fact that I was in the middle of that fight last year over the measles vaccine, where we narrowed the exemptions around the MMR vaccine to limit parents from having their children be exempted from the vaccine, I think was an important moment for public health and the state of New York, because we saw that same battle ensue a few months later in New Jersey, where the anti-vax, the anti-science, the vaccine skeptics, whatever you want to call them, actually won. And then, of course, COVID-19 hit our state and now our entire country. So we've seen in the last few months the rates of vaccine uptake dropping precipitously. In part, that's due to the fact that parents, understandably, are nervous about taking their children to a physician's office in the middle of a pandemic, and everyone's lives have been upturned, of course, due to COVID-19. But it's important that we really set, I think, a public message that everyone needs to be vaccinated and can do their part in making sure that we have a safe an effective COVID vaccine by volunteering for a trial, if you're healthy and able and willing to do it. In terms of what my husband and I discussed, he was all for it. You know, he knows the stakes are so high. And until we have a vaccine that's widely available, our lives aren't going to return to normal for anyone. So to the extent that I can step up and be part of that solution and other New Yorkers can, he was really urging me to do so.
So it seems like it's one thing to recommend or not recommend, mandate that people get an MMR vaccine if they're going to attend public school, considering it's something that's been around for years. It's really just become part of our culture. And another thing to urge people to participate in a trial. Do you feel like there's a distinction there? I mean, do you feel comfortable telling people to take on that risk if, you know, they are, even if they are healthy?
Well, I think it's an option. Unlike vaccines that are essentially required to protect the public health, this is completely voluntary. And I know that a lot of New Yorkers are a little frustrated, as I've been, in how to best demonstrate support for beating this virus. I mean, we can, you know, lean out of our windows every evening at 7 p.m. and beat our pots and pans. We can donate to charities that support first responders and homeless folks who have had it really difficult. We can also, you know, make certain that we're registered to vote and vote absentee and social distance and wear face masks. But one more measure we can take if we're healthy, willing, and able is to sign up for a vaccine trial, because this is so important. And the wider the net is cast in terms of ethnicity, economic makeup, geographic distinctions, I think the sooner we can get to a vaccine that's safe and effective for everyone. So it really is a personal decision, Dave, I would say. Nothing I would urge anyone, you know, to do unless they have consulted their physician, understood the risks, and discussed it with their family. But boy, this is the moment, I think, that we as individuals can make a collective difference in something as important as, you know, defeating this virus.
We're speaking with State Senator Brad Hoylman, a Manhattan Democrat who's taking part in phase 3 of a clinical trial for a COVID vaccine. And I'm curious, because as a gay man, if you want to give blood, you have to jump through a lot of hoops. So what do you think of that same medical community sort of, you know, welcoming your participation in this endeavor? Do you feel like it's hypocritical at all?
That's a really interesting point, because, you know, another way that individuals can contribute to the wider collective good if they've had COVID-19 is donate plasma.
Right.
And, of course, the White House has made that call. And individuals, even if they haven't had COVID-19, should be donating blood, because blood supplies are so low, about, you know, a third of where they have been in years past. And one estimate is that New York has only about 3 to 4 days worth of blood supply on its hands. So it is an urgent call to action for donating blood. You know, I believe that it's the the FDA that is to blame for its science around gay men donating blood. And other countries have moved into the 21st century, looked at science, looked at the fact that the screening of blood products can eliminate, you know, 99% of pathogens, including HIV, and gay men should be able to donate blood. I think it's pretty clear on the science. I think it's the politics around the FDA, particularly now as it stands, this administration, that's not clearing gay men to donate blood. They have, of course, I think you may know, reduced the window through which an individual has to be a gay man has to be celibate in order to donate. Before it was a year, now it's 3 months. I hope we get that window eliminated altogether. And yeah, the fact that I'm, you know, volunteering for a trial, my blood's good enough for the vaccine trial. Well, I think it's good enough to donate as well. But more importantly, scientific community thinks it is, and that's really what should be driving this conversation, not politics.
The most ambitious timelines project maybe 100 million doses of the vaccine by the end of the year. Considering that timeline, when do you think you would feel comfortable having your children receive a vaccine?
Again, I think I'm going to leave it to the scientists and public health experts to help guide the policy on that. I know that the vaccine, when it is produced, and there's some very good candidates, including the one I took, that are in phase three trials, which is pretty advanced. But we're going to have to see how quickly it is widely available. You know, the vaccines are already being produced in mass quantities. So when one is approved, they'll be able to be distributed. But it's going to be our first responders, our healthcare workers, who are going to get the vaccine first. Those folks who have been on the front lines and who are saving lives on a daily basis now across the country, and then immunocompromised and seniors. Process is years long. So I think that the vaccine will be available to different populations as it proves to be safe to those different populations.
But would you, have your kids and husband sign up the day first day it becomes available to them, or would you want like some other people to go first and wait a few days? Which I think would be a very reasonable concern for people who, even if you are a person who goes about getting your vaccine, has your kids get their vaccines, but might feel a little worried about this new uncharted territory.
Well, I think we're going to, have to participate in a conversation about how this vaccine has been tested. The fact that I'm in a trial right now, I think is going to give me some additional insight. If this is the vaccine that's in fact chosen, no doubt I'll have a personal perspective on it. But when it comes to science-based policymaking, we really have to look to those physicians and researchers to give us the evidence so we can make an informed decision. I am concerned, though, that this is going to raise a whole new level of vaccine hesitancy that we've seen around MMR and other vaccines. I had a primary opponent, Dave, who ran against me specifically because of my legislation on the MMR vaccine. So the political, slings and arrows are apparent, but this is just too important to sit out on.
We've been speaking with State Senator Brad Hoylman, a Manhattan Democrat. Senator, thank you for making the time, and I hope everything works out with this testing.
I'll let you know, Dave. So far, so good. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.